Welcome to 239 Uncensored. Everything Southwest Florida and beyond with your host, Tim Jarrett. This podcast covers it all. Real talk on issues from real estate to real crime. Join the discussion on hot topics to politics. Don't get left behind. Be in the know about everything Southwest Florida and beyond.
Hello, tonight we have, early evening, we have Shannon Livingston. I love that name. That's a really cool name. So we're so glad to have you on this podcast. And, you know, we really, really enjoy bringing interesting guests on. I think it's very important that we have interesting people in both Collier and Lee County. You know, I know you're currently involved in broadcasting in a certain situation. And, you know, we're really honored that you would come on to this, like, low level where we're, you know, just kind of, like, having fun. and you're on it. You know, you're on our podcast. So we're excited. Shannon, are you there? Let us know.
I am. Thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, I have all sorts of friends in low places. So
and you're just adding to them.
Yeah, I try to be good to everyone.
No, we really appreciate it. You know, your experience, and you reached out a little bit, and we kind of communicated back and forth. And your whole thing is, like, real, really, really interesting. You know, one of the things that I really need to address right now, and we got to get really serious, is you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Yes. I mean, what the heck?
Well, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas, first of all. And it is just in your blood. Like, it's in your DNA, I think, after a couple of generations that you have to be a Chiefs fan.
I get it. But so you're telling me that you are a legitimate Chiefs fan. You're not like one of these... You know, bandwagon.
No bandwagon, right? Oh. No, I have, like, barbecue sauce in my veins, like that kind of Chiefs fan.
I love it. I love it. Now, let me ask you this question. Is there going to be a season this year? What do you think? What's your thoughts?
Oh, my gosh, there has to be. You know, I've waited all of this time. Finally, my team makes it. And then there's discussion of, oh, maybe we just won't play. Like, that kills me. And I love this kid, Mahomes. How can you not?
I really, honestly, I'm a huge Patriot fan, and everybody knows me, and we have Rich Hampton, who's a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. He comes on a lot, and he helps me co-host, and we bust each other all the time. And I really hate to admit how much I like Mahomes. He's unbelievable, and to watch him play, I mean, it's gonna be fun for you guys for the next, you know, at least a year. No,
and he's just let's hope. And he's just such a good person too. You know, I mean, not only can he throw the ball without looking. But he's a really quality person. So we're blessed to have him long term now.
Yeah. And he seems to stay out of the controversy, which I think is good. And it's not easy for someone that young to do that. So he seems like a real class act, and I know the NFL is glad to have him. So, yeah. So it's great. I'm just excited for football. I hope we have it. And that's something we really need to have, I think, just to get us out of this funk a little bit.
A little normalcy.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, now, I want to ask you this. You have the title, maybe, you know, self-given or probably not, you know. You're the marijuana queen of Collier County. Now, given my background in law enforcement, I've got over 30 years. We'll have 30 years in November. I mean, how did we connect, or how is this connecting? We're trying to figure it out. This is great.
Well, you know, I did reach out to you because I'm a fan of the podcast.
Yay.
You actually interviewed my friend Jim Bloom, and Jim and I go back years. We used to serve Make-A-Wish together.
Awesome.
And so, you know, this whole town is connected. I am very pro law enforcement. Cannabis is legal now, medical cannabis in the state of Florida. And we're all working together. So while it may seem odd that a cop is interviewing me about cannabis, here we are.
No, and that's what we're all about. We're 239 Uncensored. We have a lot of fun. Interesting people's the key. And, you know, I guess I got to ask you, why are you called the Marijuana Queen of Collier County? Give me a little bit behind that.
First of all, it's cannabis. And it is cannabis instead of marijuana. Okay. It's all right. It's all education. We're learning together. Marijuana is a racist term. It was made up to sound Mexican and really capitalize on the anti-Mexican sentiment of that time. And so we're trying to rebrand now and only call it cannabis. So, you know, on the Cannabis Queen of Collier County, I think because I spoke up. It's not an attractive topic. There's a lot of stigma. And I really felt like it was important to be a good ambassador. I love my community. I had a great relationship, still do, hopefully, with our leadership and law enforcement. And so it just kind of made sense for me to step up and start that education that I saw that was necessary.
No, and I think it's important. I mean, our big thing in law enforcement is, you know, making sure it's being used properly. And like we say, we just enforce the laws. We don't make them. We don't, sure. You know, do a whole lot with that on that side. So we enforce the laws that are out there. And, you know, it's an interesting side that I guess needs to be brought out. And I think that understanding is very important. And like you said, that's kind of interesting how you're telling me, you know, educationally, it's not marijuana queen, it's the cannabis queen. So I think all that education, just knowing that difference is huge, not only to me, but to others, you know, that might listen on.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we do have only medical in the state of Florida. And it's important to know what that is, because like you said, it changes lives. It, you know, it's important that people that need this medicine have access to it, and that they have access without the stigma. People should not feel guilty for how they choose to treat their health conditions.
I'm under the understanding that you offer cannabis education classes, and I know they're free and they're confidential. I guess the confidential portion of it, that would be maybe for the stigma part, or give me a little background there. Yeah.
For one-on-one, you know, most people don't want to discuss their health issues in a group. So I can do my PowerPoint for a group all day long. But if I really want to counsel somebody appropriately, it requires a little more intimacy and privacy. So my help is always free to patients and caretakers. I'm happy to help them learn how to access and use their medicine. It does take about 2 to 3 months for most people to figure out how to effectively use it for them. It's just so individual. So I'm very happy and honored to do that. And then I also am consulting with FGCU and all of their cannabis and hemp education programs that they have going on right now.
Yeah, no, it was kind of interesting. You gave me a little bit of information on it, that there's actually a weed class at FGCU. It started in 2018. Do they call it like weed class 101, or what do they call that?
So the very first class was started by Professor Sam Walsh, and he did call it weed. I believe it's weed, the impact on American culture.
Okay.
But it filled up right away, of course.
Yeah.
Everybody showed up to class. So I read about it in the paper, and I really wanted to know that the information that I was giving patients was the best, that it was higher education level information. And so I asked if I could audit that class. And he and the other instructor were very gracious, allowed me to. And then once I got my foot in the door, I just kind of refused to leave. And I'm still there. So we've built a lot of exciting programs. We had a certificate program through continuing education that was a 5-day program, really workforce related for the cannabis industry. But we also have cannabis now integrated into just regular classes. So let's say you were taking an accounting class or you were taking a psychology class. Now there's going to be cannabis or hemp, whatever's appropriate for that class, some of them put into that. So the overall curriculum hasn't changed. You know, it's not just a class on weed or a class on hemp. It's, you know, maybe cannabis. That's the class that I'm currently helping to present, I guess. I have to be careful not to say that I'm an instructor professor.
Right, no. And so basically what you're saying now is it's acceptable to say, okay, in a business class, if you sell 40 pounds of marijuana, this is what you get. This is the money.
I'm just money to it, right? It's legit, and
right.
It's acceptable.
Right. It's just, you know what, the culture change and the difference, we kind of get a little chuckle out of it. I do. Probably not you so much, but I get a little chuckle out of it. But it's like it's so different for us, and for to hear it, like when you were saying, yeah, you know, we've got weed or cannabis integrated through the business courses, through the accounting, all that stuff, and I'm like, yeah, not physically in there, but in the class. So I do get it. It's really interesting.
Well, and you know, so that's the cannabis side, the THC side. And the real opportunity, I think the real game changer, is the legalization of hemp. So we also have classes and education on hemp. And really, FGCU is trying to focus on the industrial side. Right. So, which I think is awesome, and that is going to be the long-term investment, both financially and for our environment.
Yeah, so give me some differences between, I know it can get a little confusing, even for myself. You got the cannabis, the marijuana, the hemp, and the CBD now is huge. Like every store you see now has got some sort of CBD product. Can you kind of break those down? I know that's probably a three-show deal, but if you could break it down kind of quick, Reader's Digest.
Of course. That's my deal. So cannabis is the plant, and when we say cannabis, that includes cannabis with THC and hemp, which has less than 0.3% THC legally. That's the definition. So same plant, but it's a different label depending on how much THC it has. So to make it even more confusing, like I said, we're really trying to use the term cannabis instead of marijuana. But marijuana is the word that is written into Florida legislation.
Okay.
And even when we talk in the industry together, if we're talking about cannabis and then hemp, sometimes we have to say, wait, are you talking about hemp or marijuana? So it is still sometimes used to differentiate, the THC side. So it's just super confusing. And then CBD is short for cannabidiol, which is one of the compounds from the plant. And CBD can be extracted from hemp or from cannabis. But the CBD that you're seeing out on all the shelves in the gas station, please don't buy your CBD from a gas station. That is all hemp derived. That's why that is legal and out there on the shelves.
Yeah, that's a good point that you brought up. I mean, how do we know as a consumer, you know, what is legit? There's different strengths, I guess, different types of CBD that's out there. I mean, how do we know?
Well, you know, thankfully, we now have a director of cannabis who actually oversees hemp. It's not the cannabis side. Again, hemp is cannabis, but most people don't understand what her title means. So we have, through our Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, Holly Bell, the director of cannabis, and they have gone and really created great regulation for CBD. So testing, you have to have a license to have it in your retail shop. Just the things that we have needed for so long, because it's not cheap. So if you're buying a bottle of tincture at, let's say, $100, and it doesn't work, or it could even make you more sick, then you're never going to try CBD again. You're going to think it's all a hoax. And we have seen a lot of that. So, you know, if you've tried it before and it didn't work, try a better brand. So you need to make sure that it is a registered brand with the Department of Agriculture, and that it also provides testing. You should know that that has been tested, not only for its cannabinoid profile, all of the components within the plant, but for heavy metals and molds, that anything can be in there. We have seen recent cases of the actual product testing clean, but then it was put into bottles that were from China and the little droppers leached lead. So then it was contaminated product. So we're learning as we go. Regulation is kicking in and things are getting better.
Yeah, I see that and hear that, because I do know that when you drive down the road, you'll see a lot of different various places that are selling it. You know, you can get the pharmacies, the local establishments. It seems like that CBD is out there quite often, quite frequently. Just a couple things. The local restrictions on dispensaries. I know Lee versus Collier. I know I've seen quite a few places in Lee County that currently have the dispensaries up, not a lot in Collier, and I think Marco just came out with something where they totally just banned it, or they're working on that law down there?
Marco had a ballot initiative actually for recreational cannabis, which doesn't exist, but they're a little scared down there, so that's what they chose to do, and that did pass, but we'll see where that goes. And Collier County does not allow dispensaries at this time. They need a change to their land development code in order to do that, which that requires a supermajority vote. Four of the five commissioners, we only received three out of the five positive votes. So there will be that change. Commissioner Fiala will be retiring, and we'll see someone else take her seat, and then we will move along as a county. Lee County does allow dispensaries, and really Bonita Springs kind of serves Collier County. They're very saturated now with dispensaries. But I just interviewed Mayor Simmons, Peter Simmons, the mayor of Bonita Springs last night, along with Commissioner Bill McDaniel from Collier County on this very issue. And when I asked the mayor if there's been any fallout or benefit or anything to having so many dispensaries in Bonita Springs, he said he hasn't heard anything from law enforcement, no problems. You know, he doesn't really know what the economic impact has been, say, for people coming in that then buy gas or stop for lunch or whatever. But so far, so good.
Right. So just a close proximity to Collier County. Obviously, Bonita would be a place where people would put their business to get that. So lessen the drive, yeah.
It's closest to the county line, yeah.
Correct. And, you know, I'm looking a little bit about this, the vertical structure of the medical cannabis industry. What's that look like? I mean, to me, we're like probably at the tip of the iceberg of what that could potentially be down the road.
So the vertical structure means that if you are a license holder in the state of Florida, your license is vertical, meaning you have to perform every level of service. You have to cultivate it. You have to extract it. You have to be able to manufacture, sell it in retail, the transportation. You can't subcontract any of that out. It all is internal under one license. And so that really limits our industry.
When that was given to those distributors or those people that control that, wasn't there a limited amount of people that can actually do that within the state of Florida?
It started with five, actually.
Wow, five.
I believe we're up to 22. Now, all of those licenses are not active. Maybe we're 21, but I think close to 22. And I think 14 of those are actually dispensing. But it did start with five. They were split between regions. And the grading scale was very skewed. I think four of the five recipients of the initial licenses were actually on the panel that chose the winners. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right. I would not want to be that fifth.
No conflict of interest at all. You know?
And then, you know, something else that was interesting is one of the rules was you had to be a member of a nursery association for 30 years. Well, 30 years ago, they didn't let black farmers join this association.
Okay.
So that instantly cut out all black farmers in the state of Florida of being eligible to participate in medical cannabis.
Interesting.
So, of course, that created a lawsuit. That license was carved out. That's one of those 21, maybe 22 that we have now. So we've seen that number increase through administrative courts similar to that situation.
Now, do we know in Collier County, are we able to harvest cannabis, hemp, that type of product in Collier County?
So hemp is federally legal. And when the Hemp Farm Bill of 2018 was signed, it legalized it federally, and then it put it on the states to come up with the program to decide what that framework and regulation was going to be. So Florida jumped on that fairly quickly. And I believe we have a really good program in hemp. As far as the structure goes, we don't really know what kind of hemp we can grow in Florida. Prohibition has knocked out all kinds of genetics and data. And so we're kind of starting over. We can grow in greenhouses, certainly, for cannabinoid extraction, like CBD and some of the other cannabinoids. But that industrial hemp growing outside and in some amount of acreage, we're really going to have to see what that looks like. And, you know, that's a promise being made to some of these citrus farmers. And they're kind of too smart to go for that. You know, hemp is wonderful. I think it can change the world. But I also think that it's been overpromised to farmers. And we need to slow down a little bit and do the research.
Right. So let me ask you, if you're somebody like in my position who's combated marijuana, cannabis, throughout his career, in every facet of the way, whether it's, you know, whether we felt that it was a fight that was very difficult for us to win. What do you tell that person, whether it be a law enforcement officer, a parent, somebody who's had maybe a negative experience or kind of looks at cannabis or marijuana or, you know, hemp or any of that stuff in a negative way? What do you tell them?
You know, I encourage them to watch the documentary Weed by Sanjay Gupta. It came out in 2013, I believe. And I really think that was the turning point for America with legalization, because we saw little Charlotte Figge, Charlotte's Web,
right,
was named after her. And Charlotte's Web was a strain that was very high in CBD, low in THC. And it, when we saw that little girl seizing, and then we saw her not because of this plant, that I think opened a lot of minds and a lot of hearts. And that really is what it takes. Once you have a relative, somebody that you care about, and their health, their life has been saved or improved because of cannabis, then you can open up a little bit. You know, I never push my opinion on anyone. I try to educate people, let them know what their options are, and then it's their medical choice. I advocate for medical choice and educate on cannabis, but it's still totally up to you, and people change their mind, and that's okay too.
Everybody, like I said, everybody's got their opinions, everybody's got their thoughts, but I think knowledge is power in anything, either side you're on.
Yes.
Learning about it, but when you close your mind down and just shut everything down and just totally go in one direction without taking input from both sides is problematic. I think it would be.
Absolutely. And we have seen that from advocates as well, which I think has slowed down legalization. You know, if we're always fighting, if we're adversarial instead of working together for our community, we're not going to make any progress. So, you know, it's very cool that you and I are here having this conversation about what cannabis looks like in our community. Who would have thought this ever would happen?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's fun, you know, and like I said, all we're trying to do is bring some information out and have a fun educational discussion and just talk about it. You remember, obviously, you know, John Morgan, he dumped in millions and millions of dollars into the big push for the legalization. Do you know what that was, what his big background push was for it? Or do you know what eventually he wants to get out of it?
Well, you know, it's money. It was an investment, which I don't have a problem with that. I'm glad that he was invested so that he sticks with it. But now his focus has shifted. He said, okay, I put enough time and effort into that, and I'm passing the torch. Someone else needs
right,
to find some funding,
right.
And yeah. You guys need to get it together. And so we saw the Make It Legal Florida ballot initiative, which advocates did not like, because even though it would have legalized cannabis for adult use, it would have limited it to those existing license holders. So if it's already a system that we think it is way too restricted, which a lot of us do, you know, it helps patients to have more choices and lower prices. That's just how things work. So John Morgan did a great job starting it, but if people want to see adult use coming around, then they're going to have to actually do something. And I think we're a few years away from that. Everybody has been hopeful that we would see federal legalization just any year, and, you know, with a new administration, and I don't know that the American people are totally ready for that.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair assessment, and, you know, good information. I know we got limited time, but let me ask you one thing. I mean, you don't have to give your opinion on this, but do you feel that in the near future that recreational marijuana is going to be available, or it's going to push at some point in Florida?
I think Florida will probably happen before federal legalization.
Really?
We really have a strong organization in Florida. We have a senior population that is the strongest or fastest growing demographic of cannabis patients. You know, they're realizing that is better than taking 12 pharmaceuticals. They don't have to take a drug test for work because they're retired. They can afford it because insurance doesn't pay for it. So, you know, I think seniors are really going to help push that along. And I, like I said, federally, I'm not so sure that people are educated enough on it to be ready. But Florida has already seen medical and the sky has not fallen. So we might be ready in 4 years. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, let's follow it and see. You know, it's a very interesting topic. And obviously, we love it when people, you know, give us some input. We'll obviously post some stuff up on Facebook and, you know, out and about. But we're really glad to have you on. And I'm actually more glad that you like listen to the podcast and you really enjoy that. I'm sure we're going to have you on a lot more because it's just a fun conversation about anything, you know?
I love it. We can talk about the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, I love it. Yeah. Well, when we get a chance, we'll get Rich on here, and you guys can just have, you know, just talk about everything, every play of the game if you want to. But our big thing is let's have a season. But no, Shannon, this has been great. I can't thank you enough. And, you know, we hope to keep listening, keep pushing us out there, and we'll have fun with this.
Thank you. I sure appreciate you being open and having such a great conversation with me. Thank you for having me.
You're the best. Thank you for listening to 239 Uncensored, and we'll see you next episode. Please make sure to download and listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And don't forget to like and share on social media.